ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
It's 2013 and time for the 77th episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I've got a great interview with Christopher Long, creator of the recent Kickstart comic called Head Full of Noise, one of my favorites in the last couple of months. I think you'll enjoy what we talk about, including how the book came to be. So I'm sure you're going to want to listen to his interview. Then I review this week's comics, followed by Pete Cazazza, looking back on 2012 and looking ahead to see what 2013 is going to be like in his popular store in College Park, Maryland, Big Planet Comics. Then Gianluca Glaser returns, as always, to talk about news and previews with me. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. I'm talking today with Christopher Long, creator of Head Full of Noise from Kickstart Comics, one of my very favorite companies. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Good, good. Why don't you talk a little bit about yourself and how you got to the place where you created Head Full of Noise? Have you been a comics reader?
Yeah. As a kid, getting sick, you know, when I would stay home from school, my dad would bring me comic books from the local drugstore. But then everything changed in middle school when a friend of mine gave me Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns.
Mm.
And that sucked me in. I just thought that comic books were, at that point, amazing. And I read, you know, I was in it for probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And then in high school, my discretionary income went to alcohol and cigarettes. So, yeah, I kind of slipped away. And then I went to film school in Southern California, and after I graduated, a friend that I worked with gave me Bendis's Powers, and I really hadn't read any comic books for years. And Powers, like The Dark Knight Returns, sucked me back into the comic book world, and so I've been reading ever since, and that kind of spurred me to try to get into the comic book industry. And there's an inker for Marvel, Danny Mickey, who I became friends with and kind of coached me, and which resulted in my first published comic book, which was Easy Way, through IDW.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, you know, I've just kind of done some creator-owned stuff, done a couple projects for Marvel, and then kind of got me introduced to Samantha over at Kickstart, which led to Head Full of Noise.
Right. Now, do you want to talk a little bit about what Easy Way was about? And also, you did something called Hiding in Time, I understand.
Yes. Easy Way, I came up with the idea for that comic book while I was in a drug and alcohol rehab in Orange County. And dealt with guys from a rehab who stole a drug-sniffing dog and cruised storage units in San Diego with the hopes of finding one where drug traffickers had stashed their merchandise.
Okay.
And then Hiding in Time was through Shadowline and Image, Jim Valentino's company. And Hiding in Time was actually the last creator-owned project that I did at Image. It was supposed to be a 4-issue miniseries, and then it kind of got cut down to 3 with 2 issues already in the can. So it kind of felt a little rushed. But Hiding in Time was optioned by Warner Brothers, like 3 or 4 years ago, and got a lot of attention for Hiding in Time, which is, you know, I think kind of ironic because, and this happens a lot, but it was probably the least favorite of my comic book properties. But I think actually Hiding in Time was what caught Samantha's attention over at Kickstart. So 2 years ago at Comic-Con, I had a meeting with Samantha, and she had asked me to come with a couple of pitches, and I worked on getting 2 really polished and dialed. We sat down at lunch. I pitched her my 2 ideas, and with pitches, you know, kind of tell if people are interested or not, and I could tell that Samantha was not interested in my two pitches, so I was like, all right, well, let's have a good lunch, and we just kind of were talking, and I had mentioned to her that I'd always wanted to do a comic about a guy who could read minds, and it wasn't fully baked, it was just more of an idea, and we just spent the next hour kind of riffing and talking about it, and what we would both like to see from this project, and so that's how Head Full of Noise came about.
Oh, cool. Because one of the things about Head Full of Noise, and I have to say, I could see this being a movie, too. It's kind of interesting. It's very well done, and I really did enjoy it, by the way. It was a great comic. The thing that impressed me the most was that I liked the fact that Daniel, who's the main character and who's able to hear other people's thoughts, I don't know if I want to call him a mind reader or anything, but he's very much unlike Professor X, which I really like. Professor X is this ultra mutant, can read people's thoughts all over the world, and yet he's able to sort it all out. He's not bothered by any of this. I like the fact that Daniel's actually bothered by these things, and he very much likes to be alone when he can't hear people's thoughts.
You know, I mean, growing up, you know, sitting around with friends, and we would talk about, you know, if you could have one power, what would it be? And I remember one of my friends had said they would like to read other people's minds. And I immediately thought that this was a horrible idea. I mean, of all the powers, I generally think, and I guess this is cynical, I think people's thoughts tend are horrible. I think people have horrible thoughts. And I think you can dispute this if you go to a news site, you know, and there's an article and you read people's anonymous comments below. I think when people are allowed to be anonymous, I mean, it's like pure it that comes out. You know, a lot of times you read, and I'm not saying this is everybody, but they're hateful, they're cynical, and I think people's thoughts would be in this vein. And so my idea was that I liked it, the guy who had this ability, who hated it, who hated seeing people thinking the most horrible and heinous things ever, and he tried to muffle these noises in his head, you know, which Daniel did it with, you know, prescription drugs and alcohol, and would try to separate himself and segregate himself from all these horrible thoughts. But then, with that said, there's an expression that feelings aren't facts. And I think this is, you know, what I wanted Daniel's character arc was that at some point, it doesn't matter really what people think. It matters what they do. So I think what I wanted to get across during, you know, at least at the end of Head Full of Noise was that Daniel realizes this, that, yeah, some people can think horrible things, but it's what they do that matters.
Well, I got a big kick at the beginning of the book of what he chooses as a profession, given his ability. He chooses to be like a palm reader or a mind reader or something, and he even wears the mystical garb that they do, you know, the turban and the cloak and stuff, and he basically listens to their thoughts and tells them what they want to hear, which I've always thought this is what I think people in this profession do. I don't think they necessarily have any abilities. I guess I'm being cynical at this point, but I always thought it was kind of interesting to me that they work to find what it is you want to hear and give that to you. And he does that very well. And I just thought that was such a funny thing.
I agree with you completely. I mean, I have gone to like one, I guess, clairvoyant in my life. And it was amazing. I walked out. I was like, yeah, that was great. And then I kind of realized, you know what? I think this person was just telling me what I wanted to hear. You know, that I was going to go be successful. I was going to, you know, had a bright future. And got into a few details, you know, I was going to marry a wonderful wife and have a great family. And so I thought that Daniel, this was perfect for him, that he could. And you know, and he also views it as performing a service. Yes, he's getting paid for it, but, you know, he's making people's lives just a little bit better. And I think at the core, Daniel is, you know, at his core, he's a good person. You know, he just does not handle people and situations well, and he numbs it. He would rather be numb than have to deal with it. And so then the plot of the story is, how do you get someone like that to venture out into the world and actually engage with people?
Well, it's interesting because he has a brother by the name of Randy. And of course, I have a twin brother named Randy, so that reached out to me. And the brother is kidnapped, and the family has to come up with all this money to get him back. And it basically ruins the family's financial future to do that. And when Daniel, he hits puberty and he realizes he's got this ability, it's an interesting thing because he decides he can't take listening to his parents and their thoughts about him and his brother. And so he leaves. And I was really kind of fascinated by all that stuff. One of the things I noticed, too, was that it wasn't the mutants in the sense that everybody had a latent mutant power. It seems like Daniel's pretty much the only one we know about who has this ability. And I just thought that was kind of a good way to go about it, because sometimes there's just too many people with powers and you lose the focus. And I think the way that you wrote it was really good, because it keeps the focus on Daniel, which is where I think the story should tell.
You know, the thing with Dan at the beginning with the situation, like when he's a child and his brother is kidnapped, you learn a little later in the story that Daniel's ability had manifested it by this point, but he didn't know what it was. He couldn't identify it. It was new to him. And he actually knew who had kidnapped his brother, but he was afraid by this. He didn't know how to react, and it didn't become clear to him until later. And I wanted to get across that I think one of the situations I've had in my life where I did not act when I should have, and I've always regretted it. And I really wanted to magnify this and have this be something that his failure to act essentially left his family destitute. And that is also a sense of guilt. He's carried around this guilt throughout his life. And I'm big on, with Easy Way, the other stories that I've done, I'm big on redemption. And I'm big on, you can't move forward until you resolve the past. And he's never forgiven himself. And so through the course of the story, he does learn to forgive himself. And so that was important to me.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I like about Kickstarter books in particular is that you basically have a contained story. Most comics, you have Batman, and he has to come back every month with another story. So you almost have to reset back to where things started so another person can pick it up. But I like Kickstarter because they still have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I like that about this story, too. Headful of Noise starts out with the character in one place and ends up with him in a very different place. And I like that because that's so unusual in the comics industry. You don't see that happen very often. And if it does, it's usually a one-time character who shows up and then disappears. So to have the main focus of the story actually grow, I really enjoyed that about Head Full of Noise. I was like, by the end of it, I thought, oh man, this is great. It's a real story, you know, instead of an ongoing money grabber. So I thought that Head Full of Noise, this is why I think it'd make a great movie, is that it's a progression of a character instead of just, you know, running in place for a certain amount of time. I wanted to let you know, I really like that about it.
You know, and I agree with you. I mean, I do like that, you know, and I mentioned that my father used to buy me comic books when I was a kid from, like, the drugstore. And I think a difference between the comic books he used to buy me and the comic books now, I think I could be wrong, you know, a comic book scholar or historian could dispute this, but it seemed that comics, even like the 22-page floppies, were self-contained stories. You know, my dad could buy me an X-Men 201, and it would be a self-contained story. As opposed to the 5, 6, 10 issue stories. I mean, essentially mini series. So, no, and I think that Samantha and Kicks, I mean, that was important to them. I mean, it was a self-contained story. I mean, obviously, you would love, as a creator, to have a work warrant a sequel, you know, if you go back, and I would love to be able to go back into the Head Full of Noise universe and carry on. I think Daniel's a compelling character. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the beginning, middle, and end of Kickstart's books is great, and it's refreshing.
Oh, it's so unique in the industry. I just don't see it in very many other places. So I like that a lot. Another thing I really liked about the book, too, was the art by Tony Chastain, which the way he handled the thoughts, you know, they're sort of fluid and they kind of flow out of other people's brains into his, the way that he's drawn them. And I liked that real well. I thought that was kind of fun. It's a very nice bit of artwork instead of just having a standard word balloon and stuff like that.
When we discussed this, you know, in the beginning, before Tony signed on to do the project, my concern was I didn't want it to be a word balloon. You know, I didn't want it just to be just cheesy like that. So when Tony came on board, I mean, he read the script. I'd written the script and he read it and he just ran with it. And he came up with these, you know, how he conveyed these thoughts, almost this smoky kind of vibe. And sometimes it's not entirely clear exactly what the thoughts are, which I like, because I don't think thoughts are fully formed. You know, they're not like a fully formed sentence or snippets. And I just think he did a wonderful job, and the art the pages were coming in and Samantha would forward them to me. He just did a bang up job. I love the cover. It's just a beautiful looking book.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. I thought it was great. Sometimes when the story and the art mesh in a proper way, it has a better feeling than just something that feels kind of thrown together. This book has very much of a marriage between the written word and the pictures, and I really liked that about it. I just thought it was just a wonderful book to read. Once I got into it, I was really sucked in. And you know it's a good comic when you forget where you are and what time it is, and you're just in the story, and that's what I was with this. I just was completely lost in it. I was kind of, in a way, I was a little disappointed when we got to the end because I wanted to hear more, but it was just such a wonderful, well-told story on every level to me, and I just thought it was great fun to read.
Wayne, you're giving me a big head. I mean, you have a better review of this book than my mom. No, I appreciate it. We worked hard on it, and again, I think Tony did a fantastic job, and very, very proud of this book.
Great. Any chance that this will turn into a movie?
Samantha and I, we thought, and you know, with the holidays kind of shutting down, you never know what's going on, but Samantha and I really thought this would work well as like a television show.
Okay.
And there's been discussion, I think Kickstart, Jason Netter and Samantha are great with getting properties turned into films and television, and they've done a great job. So, yeah, I mean, that would be nice. I guess selfishly, it would be nice for me because if that did happen, it would probably allow me to be able to do some more comics with Daniel, which I would like. But yeah, we'll see. Fingers crossed.
Okay, well, that leads to my next question. Do you have any other projects in the works? Because after this, I want to read more of your stuff. I'm going to find, I hadn't had a chance to read Easy Way or Hiding in Time yet, so I'm going to go after them and see if I can't track them down and read them.
Well, you know what? I have, funny you should ask, I have a comic coming out January 30th and through Shadowline. All right, I'm going to script. It's essentially, it's Day of the Dead, but it's in Spanish, so here, bear with me here while I butcher this. In the book, the interior, I mean, it's all in English, but the title is in Spanish, and it's Día de los Muertos, which is Day of the Dead. So it's a supernatural book. Art, Riley, is fantastic. There are three stories in it by Alex Wink, myself, and Dirk Mack. And coming out through Shadowline, Jim Valentino's company, and Image. And so I'm very proud of that. I saw the art. It's great. But besides that, right now, I do not have any more comic book work coming out. So I'll try to work on that.
Well, I hope we get to see more of it because I thought this was a real enjoyable experience on many levels. Not only was it just an enjoyable something to read, but I really got into the characters, and I'd like to see more about them and more stuff from you, honestly.
Well, I appreciate that. And if you shoot me an email with your address, I'll send you some other work.
Okay, that'll be great. Well, Chris, I wish you much success. And I do have a question. Is Head Full of Noise, this is available now, right?
Yes, it was released like right before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So it is out now, and I encourage people to go out and get it and let me know what they think.
Okay. Like I said, I had a great time with it, and I highly recommend it to other folks as well. So, well, I wish you much success, Chris. I hope I get to read a lot more from you, and good luck as you move forward.
Well, thank you, Pal Swain.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Wayne's Comic Review.
Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands. And now, another exciting episode.
Let's have a look at this week's comics. The book of the week for me, and if you've listened to this podcast at all, you know which one it is Hero Worship number 6 of 6. I love this miniseries tremendously. I've talked a lot about it on Word of the Nerd Online, so it makes perfect sense for me to talk about this one. Here's the description. All of Adam's life has led up to this surreal moment, from worshiping the godly superhero Zenith to becoming the superpowered Apex, to discovering the truth about his idol and the people behind the carefully crafted public persona. Now he must choose how to confront the truth and what will happen if he turns his own powers upon his mentor and accept the mission to bring down Zenith. One way or another, there will be blood. I mentioned this series in my Highlights of 2012 article, and the final issue of this current miniseries doesn't disappoint. Adam, who is Apex, has been dreading this moment. He and Zenith are flying straight into a situation he knows is intended to kill the man he used to look up to, and he's torn about what to do. He can just keep his distance and do nothing, which would leave him the only superpowered being on the planet. The thing is, though, Adam really is a hero, and the choice he makes surprised me quite a lot. The pacing continues to be quick, and the art clear and stunning. In my opinion, this is the best book in Avatar's lineup. By the end of the book, we see the consequences of the plot to exterminate Zenith and Adam's role in it. We get an interesting resolution of some sort that tantalizes us with what will happen the next time we see these characters. I genuinely hope there's a hardcover of this book in my future. It's a perfect example of the fact that there are still interesting twists and situations left in the superhero genre. I want more. This week's New 52 reviews included Batman the Dark Knight, which wraps up the powerful story with the Scarecrow. Talon number 3 continues this excellent series. I also really enjoyed the Flash in which the Scarlet Speedster fights Gorilla Grodd. Teen Titans has Batgirl guest starring as part of the Death of the Family event. Next, I enjoyed Superman, which continues Hell on Earth. The Savage Hawkman shows the Winged Wonder fighting Shayera with Deathstroke along for the ride. Justice League Dark has the team trapped in a technologically advanced dimension where magic is outlawed and magic users are hunted and executed. Captain Atom appears in the Fury of Firestorm. Batman Inc. continues to have Batman facing off against Talia. All-Star Western features Jonah Hex taking on Mr. Hyde. Red Lanterns number 13 continues the Lantern's battle against the Third Army, while iVampire has Mary and company continuing to piece together the secret of what turned Andrew evil. And the answer lies with Kane, the very first vampire. Fun reads all. Other books worth getting this week included from DC, American Vampire number 15, Arrow number 2, and Batman Beyond Unlimited number 11. From Boom Studios, Hypernaturals number 7, and Planet of the Apes Cataclysm number 5. From Dynamite, Warlord of Mars Days of Thoris number 20. IDW has Star Trek Ongoing number 16. Image has Fatale number 11, Great Pacific number 3, one of my favorites, and Invincible number 99. Look for issue number 100 to come next month. And finally from Marvel, The Road to Oz number 4, and Venom number 29. And those are the books that came out this week.
I want to welcome back to the podcast, Pete Casaza from Big Planet Comics in College Park, Maryland. How are you doing today, Pete?
Oh, pretty good. Can't complain.
Good, good. Just curious to find out, since we're now into 2013 when this airs, what was your perspective on how 2012 went in your store in College Park?
Oh, it was a pretty good year. Definitely better than 2011. Business was up. Saw a lot of people come in, excited about comics. The Avengers movie really helped get awareness out there and get people excited. A lot of good product came out this year. We saw a lot of interest. The first half of the year was definitely stronger than the second half of the year. Definitely towards the fall, you know, things fell off a little bit. People got worried about the election or the economy. Money got tight, so things slowed down a bit. But we've had a good December, so we're hoping for a really strong 2013.
Great, great. Anything that was a big success in 2012, something you can attribute? I mean, did Marvel Now really help with that?
Yeah, I mean, Marvel Now has been really good. I mean, the biggest thing was Free Comic Book Day in May, coupled with the Avengers movie. I mean, that was just a huge, huge hit. It was a great movie. We had Free Comic Book Day. We had a lot of product to show people when they came in. It was just a tremendous time. The whole summer was very strong for, I think, most of the industry, which is nice because I don't think we've had a really good summer for a couple of years because of the downturn. So that really got people excited. You know, DC did a good job with their relaunch, their 52. And Marvel Now has given us some really good products. Thor is excellent. The all-new X-Men sounded like a ridiculous comic book, but it's great, well-drawn, well-written, interesting. I can't say enough about Thor. We have people reading Marvel superhero comics who haven't read Marvel superhero comics in 10 or 15 years, but some of the new books are really good.
Of course, Walking Dead, we always like to talk about that, and that's been doing real well. They've got a fourth season already. They're changing showrunners and all that good stuff.
Again, yes.
Yeah. But the interesting thing was, of course, you always say whenever the show's on the air, you get an uptick on people coming in to buy The Walking Dead.
Yes. This year, we didn't see as much of an uptick as we'd saw in previous years, but we still definitely saw an uptick. New Volume 17 trade book came out for Walking Dead, and we sold a ton of those. Didn't fly out of the door the first week the way I thought it might, but over the course of a month, we sold a very large number of that. So people are still interested. We're still selling large numbers of volume ones. We have people coming in saying, you know, I've been watching the show and I haven't gotten around to reading the comic. You know, I'm going to start reading it now. And, you know, we're always there to help them find it and get them started. And it seems to be working very well.
Mm-hmm. Any surprises in 2012, good or bad, that stand out to you?
For me personally, September wasn't really, and October were really down months for us. We really thought things would be going well, and people just dried up. They stopped coming in the store. When they came in, they didn't spend as much. There wasn't a lot of blockbuster comics coming out in September and October. You know, we had some storms come through, and people just didn't come in for a while. And so that was kind of a surprise for us.
So 0 months for the New 52 wasn't a big deal then?
It wasn't. I mean, we saw some uptick. We saw people come in and try a lot of the books they hadn't been reading. Like, oh, it's a zero issue, let me give it a try. So that really seemed to help a little bit, but it didn't really gel into anything sustained. Some of the issues did really well, but then issue 13 or 14 didn't do that well. So it was hard to say. It was really kind of a strange time. Not a lot of great stuff came out, and it was just kind of okay, and just people disappeared and stopped spending money for a few weeks. So.
Interesting. Well, before we get into 2013, let's talk about the thing that everybody must talk about, Amazing Spider-Man number 700. Of course, it's too late to spoil it. Everybody seems to know. Of course, people knew it before the book even came out, that Dr. Octopus has taken over Peter Parker's body, and apparently Peter Parker has died inside of Dr. Octopus's body. First of all, what was your reaction? And then also at the store, you know, clients as well as folks who worked at the store.
The death of a character, especially a fundamental character like Peter Parker, is a blessing and a curse. It's great because it gets people interested. It gets lots of media play. The media is all over this. People are coming in. People are buying the issue. But long-term fans generally hate it. You know, if you've been reading comics a long time, you know he's not going to stay dead. You know there's something's going to happen. And there's always some hinky, foolish, silly way they bring him back. And, you know, it's been done to death. So, you know, it's great for sales, and nobody really saw it coming and thought it was really, I mean, a couple of my employees really got outraged and incensed. Some of the customers just thought it was the dumbest thing they ever read. Some people think it's kind of neat. Reactions vary, but most long-term fans really find this stuff annoying. But it does drive sales, so it is what it is. You know, they do it because it gets a lot of media play, and it generates money for everybody.
So you haven't had a rush of people canceling Superior Spider-Man number one yet?
We'll see. I think a lot of people are going to buy number one. We'll see how many people buy number two. Peter Parker is a really popular character. People love him, especially kids. It's hard to sell a Spider-Man book, I think, without Peter Parker involved in some way. We have this book called Scarlet Spider, which is one of the Peter Parker clones as a spider hero, and it sells like a tenth of what Amazing Spider-Man sells. So, you know, that's not a good sign for Superior Spider-Man, but we'll see. People are curious, and we'll see what happens. You know, I was surprised they thought all new X-Men with the return of the original X-Men to modern times was the dumbest idea I'd ever heard, and reading it and appreciating the art, I think it's great. I think it's really well done. So, you know, we'll see.
Cool. Okay, that's interesting. Of course, Marvel now is going to stretch out for a while. The DC's New 52 came in one big clump, and some people really objected to that. Marvel now is doing their series spread out a lot better. Do you think that that's working better for Marvel than it did for DC doing everything at once?
It's hard to say. You know, you knew right away with DC. I mean, people came in droves. I mean, we put a lot of advertising behind a lot of marketing, and people came in. We had dozens and dozens of people. We had huge lines on Wednesday mornings when the new issues came out. You had 13 new issues each Wednesday. It was a big deal. You know, Marvel started drips and drabs, and people were like, yeah. I mean, we've been able to recommend a lot of books that are good, because a lot of these new books Marvel doing are good, and we've been able to hand sell them, but we haven't seen droves of people coming in. I mean, people come in and ask about it, and want to check it out, and been buying stuff, trying stuff. But it hasn't been the crush of people. So for Marvel, I think it's going pretty well. I mean, their sales are up. There's a lot of reorders. There's a lot of interest in it. What's good, what isn't good. You know, characters people like. They're like, oh, I'll try that again. It's a number one. I like that character. So it's definitely generating sales, and they're coming out fast. I mean, the books are not once a month. Most of them are every other week, and occasionally they've been weekly, you know, for a couple of issues. And then they're going to change creative teams after issues 5 and 6 to catch up and switch off. So we'll see. I wonder You know, the first six or seven issues of New DC 52 did really well for most of the books. I mean, they sustained quality through the first five or six books for the vast majority of them were really solid. And it seems like the first four or five issues of the Marvel Now are going to do pretty well. I'm curious to see what happens, you know, issues six through nine when they've got different people working on them and different maybe stories or something. So we'll see. It's a different animal altogether, but sales have still increased. So, I mean, it's a success, and it's just, you know, how you want to measure that success, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it leads, of course, into 2013. We're going to continue to have the New 52 going. Image is doing a lot of new stuff. Marvel Now is out. What do you think is going to happen in 2013?
It's hard to say. You know, I like Image a lot. They're trying a lot of new books. People are coming in looking for these new books to try. It's different. It's not just the same superhero stuff Marvel and DC are doing. It's growing. Over the last 2 years, we've seen interest in new Image products really take off. They're trying new stuff every month. They're launching new stuff. They last three or four or five issues, and then they take a break, and it comes back. Other stuff is ongoing. Other stuff, you know, does its four issues, and that's it. But it's got a lot of interest. People are interested. It's fun. You never know what you're going to get. Some are terrible. Some are great. And you just have to check them out every week to find out. Diversity, I think, is good for the comics market. And I hope that continues. You know, you keep bringing new and interesting stuff, products, and people hear about them, they come in, they check them out. Hopefully, you know, the economy gets good, stays good. People have money to spend, and there's a lot of good product for them to buy. That's what I'm hoping. That's my hope, anyway.
Do you think that 2013 will be better than 2012, on par with it, below?
I think it'll be better. I would say certainly on par. I'd be stunned if it wasn't as good as 2012. But we'll see. And there's definitely an interest in pop culture stuff. A lot of media is driving interest in, you know, Doctor Who and Star Trek and Star Wars. Those were big stories this year, especially Star Trek and Star Wars. I expect movies to really drive interest, and we'll see stuff. I think it'll be good.
Well, that'll be interesting because, you know, we've got new Avengers movies coming. We've got Amazing Spider-Man, the sequel coming out, and I imagine that Peter Parker will be back in his old body by that time because that's what they did with Steve Rogers. Before the Captain America movie came out, he was suddenly back as Captain America. So I expect that's what's going to happen. I guess it's a good thing because we always talk about, like, The Walking Dead being an hour-long commercial for the book. I guess these movies are turning out to be the same thing. They're commercials for the comics.
They certainly have been, especially Avengers, especially the Batman movie did really well. Not at first, but, you know, within a few weeks, we saw a tremendous amount of uptick. We sold a lot of Batman trades this year. It's been a good year for that. You know, these things don't always pay off, but this year it worked out really well. Mass media and movies really drove a lot of people to comic stores, especially in the summertime.
Great. Why don't you give us your usual information as to how people can get in touch with you and visit your store?
Sure. My store is Big Planet Comics in College Park, Maryland. Phone number there is 301-699-0498. And you can find us on the web for all our stores in the Washington, D.C. area at bigplanetcomics.com.
Okay. And we'll talk with you again soon. We'll probably check in a month from now and see how 2013 is doing for you.
Thanks a lot, Wayne. I appreciate it. Always fun to talk to you.
Oh, same here. Thanks. Okay, it's time for this week's news and previews, and with me as always is Gianluca Glaser. How are you doing today, Gianluca?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year to you, Wayne.
Yeah, you too. I hope 2013 is a good one.
Yes. You know, I noted on my Facebook page that for the last podcast, I sounded really nasally, and I'm still nasal.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that.
You know, I always seem to come down with something, so...
Oh, well, I wouldn't worry about it. For the longest time, I had trouble with my throat, and I was always scraping my throat. So as long as we get the good info, that's all I worry about.
All right. Well, let me get started then on some good info here.
Okay.
Marvel Studios has released a holiday image drawn from Iron Man 3 with Tony Stark standing in the snow. Release for the movie is May 3rd, 2013.
Wow.
Looking forward to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Jackman will get a bigger role in X-Men Future and Past, according to a recent tweet. Jackman was revealed to be in talks to appear in the film. This confirms that he signed and will join Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen as actors in the first series of X-Men films in the sequel to X-Men First Class. Jackman had a small cameo in First Class. This will apparently be a bigger role. His tweet was, quote, "Great to work with the new cast for more than 4 hours this time." So,
yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to that. He's currently in Les Mis.
Right.
Showrunner Glenn Mazzara is leaving The Walking Dead after season three. According to The Hollywood Reporter, he had replaced Frank Darabont, who was the showrunner for the first two seasons. So, the show, extremely popular, seems to be losing showrunners, though.
That doesn't seem to hurt the show. It's now signed up for a fourth season, so that's something.
Yeah. So, you know, AMC has announced, you know, like you said, it's renewed for a fourth season. He's leaving over creative differences, but the parting is amicable. So.
You know, I always wonder when these things happen, is it Mr. Kirkman that they're bucking heads with? Because he seems to be the guy that knows the stuff. Of course, he created the comic. I'm just wondering if they come up with something they want to do differently than the comic, and Mr. Kirkman says, no, we're going to do it my way. And that's why they kind of go.
Yeah, I wonder about that. That is interesting, you know? I mean, their quote is, "Both parties acknowledge that there is a difference of opinion about where the show should go moving forward and conclude that it is best to part ways." That's from AMC's official statement. So, yeah, I wonder if it's AMC and the showrunner that's butting head, or if it's Kirkman who, you know, created the story that, you know, these things are kind of following his storyline, though not exactly.
Interesting. He seems to make the choices when they deviate from the storyline.
Right. Yes, exactly. In other news, Comixology has added Andrew McNeil's in Thrill Event. It's launched its first Submit Comics and Continue feature. The first title on Comixology's apps and websites from Andrew McNeil, which was many best-selling modern comic strip collections, are Dilbert, Doonesbury, Big and Nate, and more to come. Also, basically, this is a new thing Comixology is doing. They're having, like, this app where you can submit stuff. So, the submit feature. So, they're starting to release, like, some people who, I guess, were doing that. You know, but they haven't released it wide for people to do it yet. It's been private beta testing, and it's expected to launch to the public in early 2013. So that'll be good. I know some people who want to get on Comixology but can't currently right now. Publishers, not just individuals. So it's just an issue where I guess they, you know, can only let certain people in so far. And I guess they're overwhelmed with requests, so they're kind of creating this feature to take that offhand.
You know, Diamond Publishing had to cut back. You had to get a certain number of orders, or they wouldn't include you. There's some formula they used to include you in the previews.
Right.
So, but I think with Comixology, what that's going to help do, though, is continue that move towards digital, because you're going to get the Strange and Wonderful there instead of having to dig through comic stores.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another feature that they've added is readers can now bookmark their comics on one device and then open them in the same place on another device. That's a nice feature to have there.
That is good.
And Marvel plans a series of wraparound episodes promoting comics with the second season of Ultimate Spider-Man on Disney XD, according to Wired.com. It's going to be titled Marvel Comics Close Up. It'll be hosted by Joe Quesada and Disney star Dylan Riley, who's a star of a show called Kicking It. And it's going to give kids insider peeks at 10 comics. Some of the titles involved are Ultimate Spider-Man number 7, Invincible Iron Man number 7, Hulk 3, Thor 364, hasn't gotten the Marvel Now treatment, I guess, and Marvel Adventures Spider-Man number 16. Free digital comics will be offered on Disney XD website as part of the promotion. So that's interesting. You know, my wife worked on a Disney wraparound show called Movie Trippers.
Oh, cool.
It had nothing to do with comics.
Oh.
It was entertainment news. Oh. Yeah, obviously Marvel is, and rightfully so, taking advantage of their partnership with Disney. Why not?
Yeah, oh yeah, because, well, in January they're going to kick off the second season of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Right.
And then we're going to, there'll be other things coming along the way. The new Avengers show, Avengers Assemble, is going to start up. So several things with Disney, and, you know, I agree with you. If you have a network like that, why not use it? Why not use that connection to your benefit?
Sure. In other Spider-Man news, Amazing Spider-Man has dominated in-app sales on iOS devices through Comixology this week. Hmm. Also, you know, it's sold out pretty well, too, you know, in comic book stores and all that jazz. It's, you know, obviously they've ended it with number 700, quote-unquote, ended it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's basically being revamped, rebooted as Superior Spider-Man, with the storyline being, of course, oops, should I spoil it?
Oh, yeah, it's been out since the before New Year, so yeah.
Basically, Doc Ock has taken over Peter Parker's body.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
It's new, it's interesting, why not? It's a fresh take on something.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting, because when I read about that online, the editor, I think, came out and said, we want to do Spider-Man by way of Batman.
Right.
And a lot of people, you know, last time we were talking, we talked about death threats against Dan Slott and stuff.
Sure.
What's interesting to me is that everybody, except for Dan Slott, says that this is just a temporary fix. Peter Parker will be back, even though apparently his consciousness was in Dr. Octopus's body when it perished, apparently.
Right.
But, you know, I'll bet you anything there's ways out of that. And, of course,
did,
you know, I keep thinking,
really die in comic books?
Well, that's the trick. I was just going to bring up Steve Rogers. We saw all this media coverage about the death of Captain America and stuff. And we've seen a lot of media coverage because I have a Google, you know, searches and stuff. And it's been bringing up different newspapers talking about this subject. And, you know, the sales are interesting. Some people are very unhappy with it and have walked in and said, I don't want anything to do with Spider-Man ever again. Other people are coming in and saying, oh, boy, this is going to be very different. My biggest problem with this is that it varies from the character. The character never was a this kind of person, you know, somebody who is bent towards being a villain. But he's got, if you read the comic, he actually, they didn't want to make him too villainous, and so what they did was they sort of merged Peter Parker's morality into Dr. Octopus's personality. And that shouldn't work, in my opinion. But it's going to be really interesting to see. Yeah, it's a lot of people have been thanking Marvel for making what is normally a very slow week at the comic shop into something big. So a lot of people came running in trying to get it, number 700 and stuff like that. But
sure.
I'm going to be fascinated to see when Superior Spider-Man. The reason why it's called Superior Spider-Man is because Dr. Octopus says, "Well, I'll be a better Spider-Man, a superior Spider-Man."
Yes, exactly.
And I was sort of like, that's not what Spider-Man's about. The basic Spider-Man is like us, as if we had powers.
Yeah.
And now we've got somebody who's a super genius and who doesn't necessarily have a moral bend going to be Spider-Man. I don't know what it is about Peter Parker that makes them not like him in Marvel. They killed him off in the Ultimate Universe and put Miles Morales in.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, we had the clone situation with Ben Reilly for several years.
Right.
And that was, you know, now is on the trash heap of lost storylines. And now, of course, we've done it again. We've taken Peter Parker away, this time to put Dr. Octopus in there. I can understand people being kind of unhappy because this is not who Spider-Man is.
Well, I mean, it's only a temporary thing, like you mentioned. Eventually, Peter Parker will defeat Dr. Ock and have his body back. And I'm not sure if they're going to continue to call this series Superior Spider-Man. They may go back to relaunching it yet again as another Amazing Spider-Man number one.
Now, Marvel has this lovely history of every once in a while when they realize there's like a 600 or a 400 or something, they renumber and go back to, like, it'll be Amazing Spider-Man number 701 or 750 or something like that. So Marvel likes to do that because that's a marketing thing. And, you know,
as you
worked in marketing, so you understand these
absolutely
things.
I just don't see Superior Spider-Man going past issue 12 or 16 or something. I mean, obviously, you know, within a year or two, they are going to, once Peter Parker defeats Dr. Ock, There'll be no real reason to continue to call himself Superior Spider-Man, you know?
Right, right.
Like I say, probably like in a year or two, they're probably going to have Amazing Spider-Man number one.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see that. Oh, yeah, I say 12, but I forget. They double. They do twice a month, so maybe 24 or 36.
Yeah, I gave it 2 years, so we'll see.
Yeah. So there you go, the double shipping each month. In convention news, Wizard World has announced the addition of shows in St. Louis and Nashville for its 2013 schedule of pop culture conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Wizard World St. Louis Comic-Con is set to make its debut March 22nd through 24th in America's Center, and Wizard World Nashville Comic-Con debuts October 18th through 20th at the Music City Center.
Mm.
Popular Wizard World celebrity guests include Stan Lee, Dean Cain, who played Superman, and Lois and Clark,
mm-hmm.
James Marsters, Ernie Hudson, Billy Dee Williams, and Jason David Frank.
Huh.
So they're set for both shows.
Mm-hmm.
And
Well, while you're bringing up Stan Lee, I wanted to mention that.
I was going
to
say this, too.
Oh, go ahead. Well, you go ahead.
Sure. And speaking of Stan Lee, Stan Lee turned 90 years old today.
Wow.
Congratulations, Stan Lee.
Yeah, that's as we're recording it. December 29th is his birthday, and everybody's showering him with happy birthday wishes. Of course, you know, if you get to be 90, that's a wonderful age to make. So
sure.
Congratulations and happy birthday, Stan Lee.
Probably the hardest working 90-year-old there is right now.
Yeah, I would imagine.
He's just doing conventions and you know, quote-unquote, working with writers and creating stuff.
It's amazing. It's you know, when I get to be 90, I hope I'm half as active as he is.
Yes. There you go. Any news on your end, Wade?
Well, the only thing that I have that kind of intrigues me, it's in relationship to Spider-Man as well.
All right.
We talked about Dr. Octopus taking over Spider-Man's body, and
yes.
Christopher Yost, who did the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, has put together a storyline that he's doing in Avenging Spider-Man. He's taking over as the writer. And Avenging Spider-Man is kind of like Marvel Team-Up, or as the team-ups that DC used to do, where they take the character and then team them up with different people. And so now, basically, what he's saying is this is going to be seeing Dr. Octopus team up with heroes for the very first time. So every issue is like a new thing. You know, I guess they felt like they had teamed Spider-Man up with everybody and their brother before. So now it was time to give them a new thing.
Sure.
So what they have now is Dr. Octopus having to work with them and looking at them very differently than Peter Parker might. So,
interesting.
Yeah, Christopher Yost, I really did love his Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes. It was a great show. And I don't think he got enough credit for that. So I might have to go after that book just to get it for him. Because I like his stuff. He's a good writer and does things very well.
All right.
And that's pretty much all the news I've got. So let's move into previews. Okay. What are you looking forward to in comics coming out?
Sure. This is for January 9th. Mm-hmm. And there's some good stuff here coming out. On Dark Horse's side, they have Star Wars number one. It's kind of got a Darth Vader story. Alex Ross did the cover for it. It's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. The Strain number 10 from Guillermo del Toro, Chuck Hogan, and David Lapham. That goes on sale for DC Comics. You have Double Dose of Animal Man. You have Animal Man number 16, illustrated by Steve Pugh, who you had recently on.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the second trade of the New 52 Animal Man Volume 2, Animal vs. Mm-hmm. Man. Goes on sale.
Yeah, very good. I would highly recommend that.
So, yeah, the second trade leads to everything up to, like, issue 12. It doesn't include issue 12, but it leads up to that, which begins the Rot World storyline.
Mm.
I guess Animal Man 16 is still involving the Rot World storyline, so
mm-hmm.
definitely going to be picking that up.
Mm-hmm.
Dial H number 8 goes on sale, also part of the DC Dark line.
Mm-hmm.
Phantom Stranger number 4 goes on sale with two different covers, a black mm-hmm. and white variant.
Mm-hmm.
Swamp Thing number 16, which ties in with the Animal Man with the Rot World storyline, goes on sale.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the final issue of Sweet Tooth.
Yeah.
40.
I'm going to be sorry to read that because I enjoyed that book. I got into it late. I talked to Jeff Lemire. That was one book like I had just gotten to read just so I could talk with him intelligently about it. Really kind of fell in love with the book. It's a very different sort of book. It's like Walking Dead meets X-Men kind of a setup.
Yeah.
And I'm going to really miss it. I really got to like the characters.
Yeah. It's going to have two covers. A Jeff Lemire regular edition cover and Timothy Truman variant cover edition. Over on Dynamite Entertainment, they have a few, number of titles. Army of Darkness number 8. Evil Ernie, their relaunch of the classic series. Issue number 4 goes on sale with several different covers. Then you have George R.R. Martin's Game of Thrones number 12 going on sale. And a new Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files titled Ghoul Goblin. It was on sale.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's actually something that's never appeared in the novels. It's a brand new story.
Cool.
So the latest book of his just came out for Dresden Files. So we're having a Dresden Files-orama kind of setup.
I guess
here.
So. You're getting your double dose there.
Yeah, boy. I've been for months without it, so it's nice to get. Looking forward to that greatly. I can't wait to get that book.
Nice. For IDW, we have a classic Jurassic Park Volume 5, Return to Jurassic Park Part 2, trade paperback on sale.
Mm-hmm.
Classic Popeye number 6, if that's your thing. Mm-hmm. You have Doctor Who number 4 from the, they relaunched the series a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Gil Kane's The Amazing Spider-Man Artist Edition hardcover. These artist editions are great from IDW. No price listed. Ask a retailer. So I'm assuming it's at least $120.
Woo!
Yes. They are pricey. But they end up going on eBay for lots of money.
Yeah.
The bastardization of Joe Palooka continues of Joe
Palooka
number 2.
Oh, boy.
He was recently on Fox and Friends, or at least the creators were. Well, not creators, but the bastardization writers. Then we have a double dose of Mars Attacks here. Mm-hmm. There is the Mars Attacks Classics Volume 3 trade paperback goes on sale for $20.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is part of that whole Mars Attacks crossover series. We talked about the Popeye crossover last week.
Mm-hmm.
This one is Mars Attacks Zombies versus Robots, one shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got like a few different covers here, one by Dave Sim.
So
that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talked about Classic Popeye. They also have their new version of Popeye written by Roger Langridge. Issue number 9 goes on sale.
Cool.
And then a trade paperback, I guess, of their new Popeye Volume 1. You're getting a lot of Popeye here.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's finish it off with IDW Way Talking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They have their Volume 3 trade paperback on sale, their Color Classics issue number 7, The Secret History of the Foot Clan miniseries issue number 1 of 4 goes on sale with three different covers, or one cover, I guess, two retailer incentive covers,
mm-hmm.
one of them by Kevin Eastman.
Mm, wow.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
On Image Comics side, this is interesting, Infinite Vacation. Mm-hmm. Remember this series?
Yeah, or has it been on an infinite vacation?
Yeah. Well, issue number 5 of 5 finally goes on sale. It's finally finished, I think, after a 2-3 year run.
Yeah. I was trying to think, when did I buy the last issue? I think it was like over a year ago.
Yeah. You know? So, very, very cool there.
Mm-hmm.
Where art thou? Maybe they should release a trade sometime soon.
Man.
Yes. Legend of Luther Strode, there's a issue number 2 goes on sale, and then there's a second printing of issue number 1 if you happen to have missed it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. It's a second miniseries for Luther Strode.
Mm-hmm.
New miniseries, Repossessed number 1 goes on sale.
Mm.
Think Tank Military Dossier, also number 1 goes on sale as well too. Then you have your Walking Dead issue number 106.
Cool.
It's got a couple different covers there,
mm-hmm.
both by Charlie Adler.
Wow.
All right. On Marvel's side, you have The Amazing Spider-Man issue number 699, second printing variant.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers Arena number 3, which is a ripoff of the Hunger Games. which itself is a ripoff of Mortal Kombat. we have Captain America, Land of the Free trade paperback. Captain Marvel, The Death of Captain Marvel trade paperback new printing.
I wonder how many of those they've actually made.
Yeah, I wonder if Captain Marvel ever comes back from the dead.
Not as long as they can keep reprinting the trade, I guess.
Right. There is the Dark Tower, The Gunslinger, Shimi's Tales, number 1 of 2. I guess it was a resolicited item. Goes on sale. And then, you know, I noted with you either last week or a few weeks ago about how kind of amazing it is that Deadpool did so well in last month's ratings in terms of sales. It was like in the top 10. Deadpool normally isn't a top 10 title, but it's doing very well because issues number 1 and 2 have both second printings going on sale.
Cool.
We have Fantastic Four, number 3. New Avengers Breakout Pose novel, hardcover. Another prose novel. Good lord. I guess they think people actually read. Like, not, you know, sequential art reading. I mean, actual, like, text and no pictures reading.
Right.
That's just crazy talk. We know the difference. Yeah. We know these are books.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, you have to keep the door jammed open, you know. Get the prose book out. Alright. Then we have Superior Spider-Man number 1 goes on sale. We've been talking a lot about Spider-Man. Too much. There is a blank variant cover. That's what I wanted.
Well, you know, you want to do those you take to conventions, or you get somebody you know to draw the cover the way you want it to be.
Yes. Joe Quesada is in on the variant covers. He's got 2 of them. He's got a variant cover and a sketch variant cover, and you have several other covers. Yeah, let me just count there. How many covers are there? Let me count the ways here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Only 8. There's 5.
All. Yeah, oh man, that's nothing.
Slacking big time.
Yeah.
And then there's the Monty Python-ish Wolverine Not Dead Yet trade paperback. New printing.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, and then I don't know if anyone has any interest in this. I don't read Moonstone books, but Moonstone has Kojak and Honey West one-shot book on sale for $4.
Kolchak. Kolchak the Night Stalker.
Ah, cool. I was thinking it was Who Loves You, Baby?
Yeah, no. Different guy. No lollipops.
No lollipops there. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sure the art will be terrible.
Oh, gee. Okay.
What are you looking forward to January 9th?
Okay, let me hit a couple of things I think that need to be brought in. There's an interesting book coming out. We get the first X-Men number 5 of 5. That's the end of that Neil Adams miniseries.
Oh, wow. It's come
out, which is kind of cool. I've been enjoying that. It's actually been kind of fun.
Oh, that's cool.
And of course, it stars who else but Wolverine, so no big surprise there. Then we move up into Perhaponauts, Danger Down Under, number 3 of 4. It's out from Image, which I really like, so that's a good one. After that, we get to up into, you mentioned Doctor Who, which is always a good thing. And I do want to reiterate Jim Butcher's Dresden Files, Ghoul Goblin. If you like the books, it's a good idea to get the comics because he'll often do new stories he's never done anywhere else. Then we get into DC, where I'm always a lot of things that I want to buy.
Oh, yeah.
Stormwatch 16, Smallville Season 11, number 9, it's a compilation of the digital comic. You've got World's Finest, which I always enjoy. Kevin Maguire's got 2 different covers on that one. Batwing, which is changing writers. There's variant covers for Batman and Batgirl. I guess the Death of the Family must be doing pretty well because they're doing that. There is Detective Comics number 16, which the new team on there, which I'm actually enjoying. I think that's actually pretty good. So I like that real well. And, of course, Action Comics. There's we talked about Gil Kane before. There's an Adventures of Superman Gil Kane hardcover. That's just about $40. So if you like Gil Kane, that's your week. Every time I see these weeks and there's all this stuff coming, I always think I wish they had gotten this out before Christmas. They'd probably get a lot more. But we'll see about that. Anyway, Archie has The New Crusaders, Rise of the Heroes, number 5. I have a terrible time getting that. Hopefully they're going to put a trade out from Archie Comics so I can actually read the whole story.
Right.
I just never could get – I got, I think, the first issue, and that was all I could find. So I don't see them out online either, so buying them is kind of a lost time. And that's all that I'm looking forward to. Anything else we should talk about before we call it quits?
You know, not much, really. This episode, I guess this episode is coming out after New Year's, so wishing everybody here a happy 2013.
Yeah, and I'm sure it will be, because 2012 was terrible. So I'm looking forward to 2013.
It wasn't all bad.
Well, it had its good points, but overall, for a lot of people I knew, it was a time when people who used to live in the middle class moved down into a level below that. So I'm hoping this year will be better, so we'll see. Okay, and on that note, we call it quits for another edition of News and Previews. We'll talk with you again next week, Gianluca.
Well, thank you very much, Wayne. Talk to you, too, in the new year.
Yeah. And that's a wrap for this episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Be back next week when I'll have more news, reviews, previews, and interviews, as always. But until then, keep reading your comics.
So I leave, knowing that a world full of heroes has nothing to fear.